Hey guys, welcome to episode 141 of the JV Club with my guest, the marvelous Cameron Esposito. So glad to have had her on the podcast. I love this episode. What a blast. I am in the middle, of course, of SF Sketchfest up here in San Francisco. Things are happening fast and furious today as I record this intro, so I'm going to have to keep it short and sweet. Shout out wise, I really wanted to thank Liz for getting in touch about the illness that we were talking about on last week's podcast with Seychelles. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing correctly, but it is, I believe it's called Morgellons. And that is, what Joni Mitchell suffered from as well. I just think it's, I want to reiterate, bless anyone's heart who experiences a very real symptom and is told that it's not. Liz, I'm so glad that it went away for you. And yeah, if you're interested in it, guys, look it up or listen to that Stuff You Should Know episode. It's really fascinating stuff. I wanted to thank Kevin for your email on the OC. I want to thank Pierre Jerome. You did suggest that I have Seychelles on very, very early on in the Quora world, and I agree, and I'm so glad we made it happen. I want to thank Demi for your wonderful email. Demi, I'm so excited that you work at Risotteria, everybody. My favorite gluten-free place in New York. I found out that I have a listener there. I can't wait to meet her in person. So Sophia, all the way in Russia, thank you so much for your email. And I wanted to just give a shout out to my dear friend Theo McDonald, whom I met through the podcast and whom I also had the opportunity to meet in person in New Zealand. And I adore him. He's a wonderful comic book artist. So if you're interested in checking him out, give him a Google, Theo McDonald. Theocracy is a good Google search word for him. Check him out. He's great. And then I also wanted to just quickly acknowledge that we, and by we, I mean Amber, has picked a winner for the signed book that she wanted to offer up for people who wrote in about their experience of discovering that their parents were human too. We got some amazing, amazing entries. I don't have time to give you all shout outs. I will write back to each one of you personally, but I did want to congratulate Sarah W. You were the winner for Amber's book, and that will be sent to you as soon as I get back home from SF Sketchfest. I think that's all. I hope I'm not forgetting anything, you guys, and I hope everyone is doing well and wonderfully, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Also, we're on the floor, which I'm really into.
Oh, good. I was going to say,
no.
Your choice.
F all
your
of this.
Choice. All right.
This is
what if
the
you're like,
answer?
I'm going to saddle
well,
up
I
on
said,
your bike.
I would like to be on either balconies.
Great. No problem with ambient noise there
no,
whatsoever.
No, I feel like I'm always in like a deep couch, like a deep, mm-hmm. uncomfortable couch, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it's not the best. So this is better.
These guys know I like to get my wiggle on too. Sometimes I need to just kind of like do a stretch back.
I mean, you won't mind if I'm laying on my tummy facing you, propped
not
up by elbows?
Not
like,
at all.
With my two feet behind me
crossed. I challenge you to come up with nicer poses as possible. You could get yogic on me and I would be 100% comfortable.
No, this is great.
I like to see, you know, listen, no judgment. People want to sit on my couch at home on our podcast. That's
sure.
fine. People want to get on the rug with me.
This is the answer.
Inside, I'm a little bit like...
I feel great about it.
Yeah, you did great.
Oh, your teeth are extremely white.
Also, I've...
Not in a bad way. They look great. That could have been, you know what I mean? Like, your teeth
gross.
Are extremely white, like,
gross, over the top.
Take it down
like,
a notch,
yeah,
sort of.
Like, fake tan,
sort of a thing.
Muscle magazine
yeah, no,
cover,
I'm just like, whatever the color is of your teeth, keep doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Got to be honest with you. It's only because I don't really drink red wine or drink coffee. Or
anything. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's sort of an accidental whiteness. And also, I have big teeth. So
oh.
I think it's yeah. they showcase. I mean, horse teeth.
But like a good... No, not horse teeth. Like a nice size tooth, because that's the problem with everybody's teeth being standardized now, like on
yeah.
television and film, is that like
everyone has
people
perfect
have really
squares
yeah chips. Like squares, but then they're also like kind of teeny
yeah
which I don't think you can
tiny
trust
teeth.
Like tiny teeth, you know, with
tiny
like
teeth,
no
gimme. Tiny teeth and a lot of
no
gums
differentiated
for those of you who have beautiful tiny teeth smiles, I love you, but
it's great if that's how you're born, but
right.
if you're creating your own tiny teeth, you know.
Yeah, getting them
stop
filed
it.
Getting them filed down,
yeah. That's absolutely what's happening. People are getting them just reduced
yeah.
and then stuff popped.
Loud and proud. Huge.
I like it.
Huge. What, how, did you have braces? You have very straight teeth also.
Do have very straight teeth. I had braces. Yeah, I had braces for like 4 years when I was a kid.
Four? Quattro?
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yes. Well, and also, I mean, during the, of course, I'm a stand-up comic, so.
Wait, hold on.
So we know that. I had braces, I also had glasses. I had glasses since I was two. And then I also.
Oh my gosh, two-year-old.
Yeah.
And with glasses.
I know.
Come on with
and
that.
Like at a time where, you know, because now two-year-olds
Harry
have glasses.
Harry Potter and but, people are like, you're the cutest, smartest.
No, but like then, no little kids had glasses. That was like a brave. Now it's, I don't even know how kids are constantly getting tested these days.
Yeah, I think that people are just more. I mean, listen, I don't know. And I always feel like I sound like an old person when I say, I think these days when I don't really know what I'm talking about. But doesn't it seem like in general, it is that sort of continuing raising of health standards where, in, for better or for worse, like they're attacking whatever's going on with your child. They're attacking it fast.
Right. People are like, my 1 year old can't read yet.
Right.
And they're like,
right.
Why would that be? Probably needs glasses.
Or
otherwise, they
drugs.
Could be reading at a 1 year old level.
Sort of yeah. Drug. Yeah. Exactly.
But I, 1 year old level. I had glasses since I was two. So I had glasses. And then I also had crossed eyes when I was a kid. So I also had an eye patch. And then I, that I had to
heart.
Wear to school or then later just after school.
Did people over. Make fun of you?
No.
Oh, that's great.
They didn't. And a bowl cut. And I was a little gay kid and didn't know it. So, I mean, like, it was a whole glorious package. People didn't make fun of me.
That's really... So, and they didn't make fun of you. Were you sort of popular enough and friendly enough and kind of silly enough?
I think I just had, like, I think I just overcompensated early, personality-wise. And then my parents were very, like... I have weird parents where... Like the worst thing I could ever, I don't know what kind of parents you have, but my parents are like, you're amazing. So like, there's nothing, there's literally nothing I could ever do, but then just prove them right.
Right.
Like I can't
you
disprove my parents.
Sort of,
I can't like struggle against my parents, except when I came out. That was a massive struggle.
Oh, was it? God,
yeah.
We have so many things. I know,
see how
so many
all
threads.
Things I can unpack.
Things I need. This is a list I'm making in my head.
Coming
find out.
Out
how long. Yeah. Find out how long you wore an eye patch. Find out, ask you if, because I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, but I think I thought that too. And then I realized I had sort of a paralyzing fear of disappointing my dad, not in the sense that I felt I needed to be a doctor or a lawyer, but that I needed to be amazing enough in whatever capacity he was willing to accept was fine. But was I, in my own mind, was I setting this sort of like, oh my God, I really have to be special?
I think that is the weird thing about having that type of parents because... It seems like it would be amazing. Like you'd like, you'd be set up for life. And it is great. My parents are great. But I also think you're right. There is that side thing where if somebody tells you that you can do stuff, then you kind of have to do that. Like you have no way out of it.
Yeah.
If you're not doing those things, then you are a failure. So
I agree.
It's impossible to do things like sleep or
that's right.
take time, be a human.
They don't know. I think that's a perfect example of when, like, I feel that a parent would hear that and go, well, then I just can't win.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
And I don't think you can.
It's not untrue.
Actually,
exactly,
also, I don't think you can
and
win.
And I would rather have my parents not win in that way.
Yeah.
I guess my mom wasn't really like that. My dad was like that, you know, where you sort of feel like, well, I'm not going to complain that he told me I was capable of anything. That just seems like really selfish.
No, it's terrible. I mean, we're just undoing. I just think like all of adulthood or not all of adulthood. Let's say mid-20s to like maybe early 40s is like kind of unraveling some of the like tightly coiled issues.
I think that's a great image.
And then you pass them on to whoever, your dog or child, whoever's around.
Right. Your audience.
Barista, probably your audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Where was this happening, by the way? Where was all this encouragement going on?
I'm from the suburbs of Chicago. I'm from.
I got a lot of Chicagoans.
Yeah.
A lot. Is that right?
Chicagoans, yeah. Chicagoans is nice though.
Well, like there's one extra vowel that I understand is a part of the name of the city, so technically it's entitled to be there. But I feel like I should be able to shave it off.
Yeah, just
Chicago,
please,
Chicagoans. Chicagoans.
I'm fine with you doing that. Just please don't ever use the phrase Chi-town.
You don't like Chi-town?
It's just a dumb. Dumb phrase.
Yeah.
It's like I think people from San Francisco don't like San Fran.
They do. They don't like that, and they don't like Frisco.
Okay.
No one even ever says Frisco. They must have gotten their way, because I never hear anyone say Frisco anymore.
But people from... Well, at least I think Chi-Town is very strange. It's like the same... It's in the same group of people that think the Windy City is because it's windy in Chicago, which is not why it's called the Windy
City.
Is
that true? I've had so many Chicago...
Yeah.
And
nobody's dispelled this myth.
I don't think so.
It's called the Windy City, and it is very windy, but it's not the windiest city.
Now, listen, that's very confusing. Yeah. To be called a thing, and then to not actually be called that for that reason is very confusing.
The reason it's called the Windy City is because of all the hot air delivered by the corrupt politicians in Chicago.
Are you serious?
That's why it's called the Windy City. Yes. I am serious.
Does everyone know this?
I don't know. I know that.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
God, I do find Chicago so fascinating. Guys, I could have an all Chicago... If I were seeking out people to discuss Chicago with, and by the way, my dad is from Chicago, but I've only went there for the first time for... E3, I'm not sure. I was just there for the first time, and it felt ashamed that I was there for the first time, and also didn't get to spend enough time there. But it's such a fascinating city. It really is.
Is it outside the? It's like in Schaumburg or something, or is it downtown proper? You know what? I think it's at McCormick Place.
You know what? I feel like I had to take a cab to get. I went to the art museum, and it was not a walk. So wherever the hotel was, which was connected to E3
is right.
Everyone.
I think you're...
Yeah. I don't know why I wanted to put it in a queue. There may be a Canadian furniture company called EQ3.
Yeah, or like you're having some sort of like... E equals MC squared sort of a thing. Like,
right,
you know, like there's
a lot
of... Yeah, it's probably just how into physics you are.
I'd say that's likely.
That's probably what it is.
I can't believe it's called the Windy City for that reason. This just blows me
away. Totally true.
Pun intended.
Oh my God.
I also need more.
It must be windy
more sound effects
as well.
It is.
We're on a high floor, so that's probably why it's so windy.
San Francisco, aka Frisco, aka San Fran, is also a very windy city.
Super windy.
Yeah, right. Wind tunnels. It creates corridors of wind.
Because
it's
7 miles long. I found that out last night.
Yeah.
Did you know that about San Francisco?
I must have.
Someone told me.
Did that surprise you as long or short?
Well, I've been here many times, but I can't like figure it out. Like maybe it's because I've never driven here or had to get myself anywhere.
Yeah.
Like every time I've come here,
somebody's
driven me around, or like because for a festival or something. Not. I mean, also because I'm like I only go places when people drive me around. Like,
of course.
Like, in a rickshaw or like on their human back or something. But
They're human back. Yeah.
No, but so I have no understanding of the city, and I feel like everywhere I've ever been in San Francisco is always very shitty. Like I feel like I've only been to the shittier parts, and then like walked in, the venue's amazing,
right?
But I can't figure out where like the cool stuff is.
Huh.
So I just need to come here more.
This also shocks me because it feels like you should just be like, oh, of course, San Francisco. Listen, I got my spot. I got my burrito place. I love in the Mission.
I don't.
But, I mean,
I'm not there
yet. I guess
yet.
It depends on. Where, I mean, I don't know what qualifies as shitty to you.
I feel bad
that now it sounds like we put you in a shitty area. I've stayed down at that hotel.
Not that the hotel is shitty. I just more mean like...
Where do you just do a walk
like
around?
I can't figure out where like the human beings are to be pals with. But this is me.
I'm not putting it on the city. I'm not even putting it on myself. But I am excited to crack that open for you.
I can't. Thank you.
Because
as I leave, just give me a list.
Yeah,
I would. That would be great.
Plenty of great places. Not one within walking distance from right here. A very nice city street to stroll and eat and shop and be
amazing. Maybe I found it this morning. It seemed like there was several boulangeries down the street.
There's a lot of boulangeries.
So I was
San Francisco
checking those out.
It loves being the most European city of the West Coast. There's no question about it. It embraces
that wholeheartedly. I know.
I'm always surprised when people haven't warmed to it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just haven't stayed here long enough. It's been one of those like in and out because it's so close to LA that you never would like plan
a
visit here. You'd just be like, I want to get there as the last possible second, do my show, get right on the plane and leave.
That's part of the whole kind of problem of getting into being a performer who has to tour all the time anyway, right? Is that it becomes hard to sort of get excited about the special things in each place if there's also a lot of kind of like adjustment happening, and I just need to be comfortable because I have to do the show, which is why I'm here.
Right.
Do you know?
100%. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best travel experiences I had this year was when I went, there's a festival in Toronto that's called JFL 42, where you have to stay for like the way that the festival
works. Oh, so it's just
works.
For laughs, but it's a long one?
Yes, it's
got
exactly.
It. Kind of
it's
like Edinburgh, I guess.
Yeah, yes. And so you have to stay for like, I think I was there for like 8 days or 7 days or something. So that's actually great because then I was like walking around and checking out the city and I got to make lots of local jokes.
That is, it's very key.
Like there's a hospital there that's called Sick Kids.
What?
I'm not actually kidding.
Well, listen, let's not be confusing for people.
No, they're, I mean, if you're walking in there and you're a child and you can read because you have glasses on, then you know where you're going.
Now, when did glasses morph into contacts, or did they? I mean,
when I was in
sixth
grade.
I can only assume you're not wearing invisible glasses right now. I can only assume.
When
I was don't have proof.
When I was in sixth grade, and I've like never gone back because I have super duper thick glasses, so that's like the kind of thing where if I wore them I like wouldn't be able to see
no peripheral.
Like out the sides at all, so like I wouldn't like the kind of like thing where like she shouldn't drive, like those kinds of things.
Wait, do they make your eyes, this is very specific, but do they make your eyes seem bigger or smaller?
Teeny.
Yeah,
teeny,
that's me too. So you're weeny. Nearsighted.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Super nearsighted and crazy little teeny weeny. I have like the cutest glasses in the world. They're like round and adorable, but you know,
they shrink down the
they're only for
eye.
Home.
I understand. I really understand. I'm around the corner from that, and I also have glasses I love, and I've come to understand that for me and my comfort level, I have to be wearing a certain amount of eye makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Which, so that's a whole thing. So sometimes when people are like, why don't I see you wearing your glasses more? I'm not going to sit them
that
down
is
and explain
funny.
To them all the reasons, but kind of that is.
That makes sense, though. I mean, because then you're
some it plays,
doing the old,
yeah,
doing the old
play
smack
them up, give a little
the
bit
mascara
of
into the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The feathery smack. Yeah. And you have to let your glasses slip down your nose a little bit just so that you can
to
flap your eyes.
To be able to accommodate.
Eye flapping. That's what it's called, right?
Right.
Flap your eyes.
I mean, how would you get things done, you know, if you can't flap your eyes
it's
at people
to
get
it's
them
to
react?
Do. But you've never gotten LASIK.
I haven't. And I'm nervous about it because... So I have a very high prescription. So like for a while, it wasn't even advised because like they were like, shit could go crazy. You know, like so for a while, it wasn't even advised.
We could lose your eye altogether.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now I think that because they got better over time, I could have it done. But so because I had cross eyes, I had surgery when I was two.
So the patch means you just, that's forcing your cross eye to focus where it should be? Is that how
God,
it
God, look at you. Yes.
I don't know that much about.
Literally exactly what it is. Well, nobody ever guesses
EQ3.
Why.
E
it
equals
wouldn't.
EQ3.
Yeah. Nobody ever guesses
that's
why that.
Interesting. I guess maybe I knew that somewhere.
You wear
in the back
it
of my
on
head.
Your strong eye.
Okay, yeah.
And then your weak eye has to like work harder because what happens basically is that, so the reason your eyes cross is because like you have one weaker muscle than the other, and then the strong muscle's just like, I got this.
Uh-huh.
You take a rest.
Sure.
And then the strong eye works really hard. So after a while, the weak eye, because your brain doesn't actually want to see two images. Because like if you're looking, if one eye is crossed and one is straight, you actually just see double.
Yeah.
So your brain is like, this is too confusing. I don't want to see this. So then that's why people go blind in their eye.
That's so
because your brain just blinds you like to help you
right.
So that you can keep going in the world.
God, the brain.
So
that misguided brain of ours,
yeah,
so many ways. It's like, guys, I gotta take care
this
of
this. Is gonna help
I'll
out.
Just give you schizophrenia.
Look wherever
like
you want.
That is what,
exactly.
So many things that can misfire and mistrigger,
right.
Thinking it's doing you a favor.
Absolutely.
It's the worst. So okay, so then your eye starts to your weak eye is like, I guess I gotta take this one, everybody.
So it gets a little stronger. But I also had surgery when I was two, and then I had surgery again when I was 20. And that surgery was like actually crazy. You want to hear a crazy surgery story? Okay, so
my stories already give me the
total
BGs.
I mean,
not
you're not even
not even like that's not even like a colloquialism.
Like Barry, like Barry Gibb, like the
BGs.
Yeah. Give me the BGs.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
He's the lost BG brother, guys. Uh-huh. Everyone knows EG.
So I was living in Rome at the time, and that is
humble brag.
But that is relevant because I got overprescribed for my contact lenses before I moved. And so when I moved, I knew that something was happening with my eyes, but I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
I was also coming out at the same time. So I was calling my parents, who I'd just come out to, and being like, something strange is happening with my eyes. They're crossing more than they usually do. They would cross a little bit during like
If I was sick or tired, they would cross.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's happening a lot. I'm trying to sleep in. They were like, well, it might be. They called my eye doctor. My eye doctor told them that it could be the psychological strain of anything new that had been introduced into my life. So my parents...
I can't believe I was about to make a coming out joke. And then at that,
my
actually
parents,
was what they were afraid.
Thought that... And they were, you know, given medical advice that it was probably like... Because they also were super Catholic and they... were not sure what was going on with me, and they thought that this was probably not really my life, like that I'd been misguided while going to school in Boston. So they were like, it could be that, you know, you've been seduced into this lifestyle that doesn't make sense for
the
you.
The dark side that made you cross-eyed.
Yeah, and you got so gay you crossed your eyes. So,
and you also had a lot of hair on your palms from masturbation.
Right.
Any other thing I could think of that.
And
wow.
I also, so I do not speak Italian. And my parents are telling me,
and what
like,
were you doing in Rome? Just so
well,
you know.
I was a theology major in college.
Oh, interesting.
So I was there studying comparative theology.
Okay.
And
that's a tiny bit ironic. We can agree since
yes.
you're pair. Okay.
Yes,
wonderful.
We can.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
amazing. Okay. Yeah. So you had to have
So I was like wandering around Rome, like falling over cobblestones, being like, "This is totally nuts." My parents were like, "Well, we could send you to a." A friend of ours knows a person who's a doctor, but Italy has socialized medicine. So I went to this doctor. They're like, he comes highly recommended. In fact, he's the Pope's eye doctor.
But La-ti-da.
Because Italy
That's
has
amazing.
Socialized medicine, the Pope's eye doctor just, he's
good
just like,
good
works,
for anybody.
He just works
good
at the hospital.
Anybody.
He's
Great.
Not like in a special yeah. place. He's just like works at the hospital. So I showed up to this hospital, but it's like, it's like, I don't speak Italian, and I'm literally just being
that's
like,
my,
spaghetti?
That's a big
like,
fear,
is there anything, like,
yeah, say
you know,
any
is
Italian
there anything
you
that you could help
yeah.
me
oh,
with?
This is a nightmare for so many of us, I'm sure. Just
it's
being
a
in
nightmare.
A strange place,
so, like,
not speaking the language, having a physical problem, that's terrifying.
And I know no one
and
else.
And that stress would probably make it worse.
I know, and I know nobody else. Oh, so I'm only, like, meeting people, and just, like, my eyes are totally out of whack, and I'm seeing double. So it was a total mess. And I ended up having to fly home and then have surgery because the second I got home, I went to a different doctor who was like, oh, this is not psychological at all. Her contact prescription is too strong. So they did surgery. And the surgery that they do when you're an adult, when you're a kid, it's with lasers. When you're an adult, they put you to sleep. Right. Don't throw up. Let me know if you need me to move this.
Okay, great.
Over.
Okay, great. Thanks for looking out.
Yeah. They put you to sleep and then they cut the muscles on the side of your eye and then they loosely thread sutures in there and then.
Sure, they do.
They wake you up.
Sure, they do.
And you have to go to a different location. You have to go to like the doctor's office, not the hospital. And then.
Wake you up post surgery.
So you have like literally threads coming
out
of your eyes.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And then the doctor has to move the threads while you're awake so that your eye can be adjusted and you can tell them when you only see one. So like she was like pulling it like,
ooh,
like
marionetting.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
pulling it like
eye puppet.
Pulling it. And then my eye was got like straighter and straighter. And then she cut it off and tied
were you
suture.
Out of it enough that in and of itself wasn't just the weirdest, most scary?
I mean, it
feeling.
Was terrifying. It was totally terrifying.
I mean,
but
oh God,
that is why, to answer your question a very long way, I'm terrified of getting LASIK because I'm like, what if something goes
Hello?
Awry
of
and
course.
Then I have to have crazy eyeball
not,
on a
it's
string
not a
surgery.
Necessity. It's not a necessary surgery.
So
why lean
I will
into
be
that
wearing contacts
gone?
For a while.
Oh my God. I don't think okay. Well, listen, I've just been told that my eye this is the most like mundane. Now I'm like, I have a very similar problem. My eyes are very dry. That's all I can offer. So like you
get
I've gone through a lot.
Yeah, you get it.
I've really been through it.
Oh, but your eyes
are
super dry. You have to put re-wetting drops in there.
I do wear contacts. Yeah. But like for reals, and there's no way. Again, like this is not a. I'm trying.
No, but that's terrible.
I can't top or follow what you said.
Yeah, it's okay. We're not
for sure.
Hey, there's no competition.
For sure, but you are winning. But I do have to like, especially at night. This sounds so silly, but it's 100% true. Like I've realized this is why. When I go into REM, you know how your eyes are like darting back and forth and like fluttering and stuff. If I wake up out of a dream, my eyes are so dry. I feel like. Like I immediately,
it's
urgent
terrible.
That I put eye drops in.
I know.
Urgent.
How are you on planes?
planes are bad for that.
Terrible. And also, by the end of the night of Sketchfest, of me, the combination of like getting up at 8, not getting enough sleep, getting up, sitting at a computer doing accounting, running around, being at shows, then like stopping in at a party. By the time I'm at the party, people think I am stoned out of my mind. Like my eyes are so bloodshot just from...
You've just been wearing your contacts too long.
Yeah. Just dry, just red.
You didn't get to have your eyeballs breathe.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll defend you to the end.
Thank
you. She is not stoned currently, or might be a little, but not a lot. That is...
That's not what's making my eyes hurt.
Yeah, no, it has nothing to do with that.
Ay-yi-yi. And so... Number one, do you have that like empathetic emotional response with stuff where while someone's describing something, you kind of feel like you have it? Because I almost felt like I wanted my eyes to start crossing. I mean, I didn't want it, right. But it kind of felt like it was possible. Like yeah. as I'm looking to you and we're talking about the fact that, you know, if you are stressed or if you are tired,
yeah.
Even those muscles that we don't think about using,
absolutely,
that are being used, you sort of become aware of them in a different way. And all of a sudden, I was like, I do have to really. I'm working very hard right now just to keep my eyes not from crossing.
I love that. Well, you know, my fiance Rhea.
Shout out to Rhea Butcher.
When we met. You know, like, everybody has their, like, face. Like, their face that they do when they're just like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, her, like, yeah. face that she would cross do eyes. Was to cross her eyes. And she would just be like, blah, blah. And then I had to be like, that really makes me kind of sad.
Whoa.
And then she was like, okay, I'll stop doing it. Oh. But actually, I might not have even said that. She might have just, like, sussed out that,
right.
like, that's, like, the worst thing you could do.
No.
So she tries not to do it, but, like, once a year or something
sure.
like that, she'll just slip and be like, and then she feels very bad. Hey, you don't have to feel bad. I get it. We're in the world.
It is so interesting that there's a thing that 99% of people
right.
would never think was
right.
a thing.
Right.
But it's like allowed for it to strike a chord for you.
100%.
Oh, bless.
But then it's like the equivalent face of like mocking stupidity. Like,
right, right.
I can't believe I'm this dumb.
Yeah.
You know, those
look
are
at
my.
Me. I can't even point my eyes in the right
those
direction.
Those are my actual eyes.
Oh, no. But you didn't get teased.
No, I
that's
didn't.
That's so great.
Well, because. So I think that's why. I think that's part of the reason that. I mean, there's so many reasons that. One becomes a stand-up comic, but I think part of it is just like having to overcompensate early for some shit that probably was like really terrible
right.
for me. But like you still have to go to school, you know, you can't like not go to school. So
right.
I think I just developed this way of like kind of joking over pain, and then that's it turns out that's what stand-up comedy is.
Yes, it does. Very often.
Yeah.
Very often.
Yeah.
And were you an only child?
No, I have two sisters.
Okay. Where
two.
Are you in the
I'm
the
in
ranks.
The middle. Yeah. I have two very girly sisters.
Do you feel like you got special attention? Because the middle child sometimes, I mean, if I'm going to get all like, this is what people say, I'm an only child, so who knows.
Oh,
but,
you're an only child.
Yeah, but like, you know, when people are like, well, sometimes the middle child is a peacekeeper or sort of disappears because the oldest child has a lot of responsibility, the youngest
yeah.
child is the baby or whatever. But then you had physical stuff going on, so it makes me wonder if there was like attention magneted to you.
I guess
I'm implying that you did this on purpose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah. Oh, you should have seen how difficult it was to set that whole thing up. Like all of the snipping of the
grift.
Yeah, thank you.
Really solid grifting.
No, well, I think yes in some ways, but also there. I think there's another thing going on too, which is that so I'm from like a very Catholic Italian family, and my older sister and I were kind of raised like twins. She's 3 years older than me, but we were just kind of raised like twins.
Hmm.
But we were like each other's counterpoint where like we're just completely like a full person when together
right.
sort of situation. And I think had some gender stuff going on that my dad really related to.
Interesting.
Because we just lived in an area and we just were in this cultural realm where like, the idea
you are who
of
you
gay
are.
Had uh-huh. no, it would like, that was not something anybody could be, but he was just like, it was just like, she was the daughter and I was the son, sort of, if that makes any
it
sense.
It does
like,
make sense. I think that's how people dealt with it in a lot of families before it was, you know,
yeah.
and that's one of the great things that's come out of us, quote unquote, attacking things early is, you know, my cousin who's transgender, who's female to male, these guys know he's done my podcast, but you know, he's dealing now with counseling, you know, a 7-year-old kid, a 6-year-old kid who's identifying as male, you know, with female genitalia. But he's like, there was nothing. There was no conversation to be had. That was not a thing.
Right.
And to a certain degree, too, with, you know, being gay, even for a generation like ours where you can come out much earlier, you still don't even know. Like, I don't think I knew it was a thing until I was 10 or 11, you know?
I mean, I didn't until I was 20 and I kissed a woman for the first time. That's, like, honestly when I realized that you could be gay.
Erin Foley, I think, has a similar timeline, right? I feel like when I podcast her, we were talking about it. And
came out.
I think it was around then because I think she had the experience of, like, in fact, I do. It's a great listen if you ever want to listen to it. It's a great listen because I remember her having the experience where she was, I think it was a bartender, and the bartender was like, oh, you're on our team or whatever. And she thought it was some other, she didn't even know that it was a reference to being gay. And then she ended up kissing that girl and she was like, hello, I'm awake, everyone.
I have heard her tell that story now that you bring it up. I think actually we have kind of similar-ish families. She's got like a close...
She has a lot, but she has a lot of, well, I guess she has the kind of like brothers, like athletic, boyish kind of, like, she was very, very sporty too when she was younger. And I guess, still is. Her whole family, I think, is, if memory serves.
But maybe you were the opposite.
Were the boy of the family.
Yeah, I was. Because I think.
Were you a tomboy in the sense that you did kind of, like, you weren't, you have these girly sisters that you were worried
about? My older sister, the one that I was raised like twins with, so she's literally a ballerina. Like, she was a ballerina. She was like, had like long spindly legs and like long hair, and I was just like square, and I played every sport, you know. So I think that the having some medical issues going on definitely counted for something, but I also think that there was like a weird thing where it actually benefited me early because my dad was like really into me, like just like, oh, somebody I can hang out with. Cause my older sister was into all this stuff that like did not enter into his realm at all. Yeah. And, the funny thing then being later when I was coming out that he was just like, I don't know. There were like no signs.
Really? And, he said that.
I mean, both my parents were like, were unable to look back.
Had you had like enough kind of boyfriends and that sort of, like, were you living a straight enough life that you felt like, you know, they felt like they could be comfortable convincing themselves that you were a good Catholic kid, I guess, is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I was my high school boyfriend and I were voted class couple. We were a class couple of my class. He was the
That's pretty adorable.
Captain of our football team.
Oh, okay. And but you weren't like a cheerleader.
No, I was the mascot. Football team.
We need to get into that immediatamente. What was the mascot? I can't wait to find out. I almost want to just like, it's almost like
you
if I had an intermission for the podcast. I'd be like, and, or like an ad break. We're going to find out what that mascot was when we come back. Think it over. All right. I will guess. Okay. I'm going with the obvious early Wildcat.
Not a Wildcat.
There's a lot of Wildcats out there.
Yeah, you're right. Great call. I understand why you would...
Is it... Maybe I don't want to know. I'm wondering if it's like a more obscure sort of like, huh? Or if like a head scratcher, or if it's like, no, that's like a tiger.
The
like a...
name of the mascot, I don't think you would get, but the animal that it goes with, spoiler alert, it's an animal.
Okay, all right.
Is something
instead
that,
of like a globe
or like
musical
a
note.
Race of people. Yeah.
An inappropriate... wonderful race of American Indians who in no way want you to name their team, team after them. Okay. Badger?
No, but wow. I can't believe that's your second choice. I mean, from Wildcat
to
Badger?
I tried to go to something I had heard before maybe once.
It's like you went umbrella and then very specific.
I did.
I like that strategy.
Wolverine,
no. Mm-mm. Think of the air.
Eagles.
Close.
Hawks.
No, here, I'm just going to tell you. It's a red wing, which is just a bird. It's just a red bird.
Right.
I don't think a red wing is, think of like a cardinal.
Red wing, sure, sure.
That's what it looked like.
Okay.
Looked like a giant cardinal.
Well, that's...
With legs
bright
and a head.
Fun.
And I had flappy arms, and I was that.
That's pretty terrific, though. Have you listened to, guys, I'm sorry, I can't remember what this is, but I do kind of remember what it is. It might be a This American Life episode, but there's an episode about a girl. Boy, I wish I could remember what it is. I'm pretty sure it's This American Life, and it's a series of stories, and the series of stories have to do with your identity and kind of something to do with, like, it's this kid who she's I would say she sounds gay, but that's like a horrible thing to say. I mean, who knows?
I don't think it's a, I don't think it's a horrible thing to say.
Maybe she's even described that way.
Yeah.
But she's very, very shy in her regular life. And she is the best mascot that has ever been. She, when she discovered that mascotting was like a thing she could pursue, she dove into it full force. And even in the episode, like, which it's totally This American Life, because I can almost remember what reporter it is, but they're saying, like, can you do a cartwheel? And in her regular body, she can't. She literally can't. She's not putting
that's
on, like,
amazing.
A thing. She's like, I don't know how to. And then
she is
like,
putting on a thing.
She can't really do. But
that's,
like,
part of mascotting. I'm just kidding.
No, but
that's just an idea of suits. Just a suit. Just a mascot suit joke.
When she's not wearing the suit, it's like superhero. It's
I
like
totally
being a
get
superhero,
it.
And that might even be the name of the episode. But and then she does, and then as the tiger, she's just so confident that
that's
she doesn't
so
care
awesome.
If she knows how to do one, and she does one perfectly because she's like, I've seen one done. I mean, that's really. Like, did you enjoy the sort of, I mean, I'm not, that is getting very psychological, but did you enjoy the kind of freedom of, like, I'm in public, but, like, I'm not as myself?
You know, I don't know if I.
But even to a deeper degree.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the anonymity that, like, spoke to me. I think more just, like, I've always wanted to kind of perform and do something in front of people. Like, I love entertaining people, but, and I really liked playing sports. Like, I played. I was a three-sport athlete in high school, but I was like not.
What were the sports that you played?
Basketball, soccer, and I swam.
Wonderful, wonderful.
But I wasn't like great at sports because I just, and this isn't like, but I just wasn't like captivated by it. Like I would go to practice, but I loved just like being around my teammates. Mm-hmm. And like I was captain of my swim team, but I was like a terrible swimmer, like literally in the slowest lane, but it was just because I was really fun.
Sure.
Like they were like, Karen's hilarious. She goes to the deep end of the pool and sits on the bottom and has a tea party. We are electing her. Get like my coach like hated
school
me
spirit
because
school
yeah school spirit. So I think it was more just like because I went to a very conservative Catholic school, there were no outlets like that for women. Like there wasn't like this is the chick that is like the, you know, so
right.
I think it was like the closest thing that I could find to that.
Yeah.
Cause like my then boyfriend, who was like a really nice man and really great, he just was this natural athlete who they had him run the anchor leg of the 4x100 meter relay, even though he wasn't on the track team. They were just like, will you just show up?
Oh
and
my
you
God.
Can just run.
Wow.
That thing.
That's gotta feel
like,
good to have someone.
That's gotta be good. Yeah. So, like, I have seen what that looks like, and that was definitely not my experience. My experience was, like, I'm just great at messing around, but also very studious and, like, square, but just, like, good at, I guess, stand-up comedy is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. In the end, you were still a good student, though? Like, you were a decent student? Or
yeah, I was very, like,
I gotta be amazing.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was just very, like, play by the rules and very... I was an outspoken advocate of abstinence to my fellow students.
Did you?
Which is amazing.
I mean, but like, I guess
it was not difficult.
Well, that's
for
the question,
me.
Right? That's sort of the question is how, yeah. So you just knew that you were doing everything that kind of everyone around you was doing, I'm assuming to a certain degree, but that there was just no pull to take it any further. I mean, because, you know, when I talk to people, and speaking for myself too, it's like, I don't know, especially with the fluidity, I think it's more permissive with women than it is with men still, culturally. But, like, you know, it doesn't feel necessarily bad to kiss 100%. Anybody that you like well enough. Do you
Thank
know what I
you
mean?
For saying
especially
that.
If you have hormones and you're figuring out what all that does and, like, what a pulse racing feels
sure.
like and all that kind of stuff that goes along with it. Were girlfriends of yours talking about their experiences or about their desires, and you were kind of like, huh, I guess I just don't feel quite that about this person.
I just didn't get it because, well, first of all, I think you're totally right that fluidity is so much more accepted for women. I mean, I think that if we gave little baby boys the opportunity to be themselves in the world, then they wouldn't be so scared about being feminized
right.
and being women, which I think is where a lot of homophobia comes from, like men being really afraid of being women because women are weak, so therefore you can't be gay.
Right.
But I think, like, if you're a chick in high school, you can have like sleepovers with your best friends and you can like hug them a lot and you can have like songs together that are like your songs.
Yeah.
I mean, I have this memory of like dancing with my high school boyfriend and then my best friend dancing with her high school boyfriend next to us, and You're Still the One by Shania Twain came on, and I just like turned to my friend and I was like, it's our song, like to my girl friend.
Yeah.
Because that's how I felt.
Yeah.
But you're right, like, I mean, people are, so many people are beautiful in the world inside and out, and I think we can be really attracted to people that we shouldn't be with. So like, I was super attracted to all the men that I dated, mm-hmm. like at personality wise, and then also like their, you know, their bodies or their faces. Like, I love to look at them, but then I would just be like, that is enough also. like I had weird rules about like, don't touch my shoulders, but like we can totally hang out.
Yeah.
You know?
No. It's funny too, because I feel like even for those of you who haven't had maybe the same questions about your sexuality that some of us have in the world, it's still totally identifiable, because who hasn't been in a situation where your sort of brain is telling you that you should feel something about someone that you don't feel, and you can't make those two things connect, and there's like self-convincing going on where you're like, even if it's somebody that you're not in love with anymore and you used to be, or, you know, maybe you made the decision to kind of stray and then now you can't connect with that part. Like, all of those conversations you have with yourself where you're like, I should be, what is wrong with me? I should be. Why am I not?
You know what is wild is in my entire life of having conversations about this, which is not really my entire life. I guess I came out 13 years ago. Nobody has ever said that. And that is totally right. That is a great way of describing it. It's exactly that. Because of course, because people will also, sometimes people are like, can you even have like female friends or stuff like that, or where you're like, wait, what are you talking about? like if you're straight, you don't want to fuck like every guy,
correct?
You know, and I mean, I also think you probably would fuck some women. Like, I think there's, you know, we're all like, well, it's about, you know, energy and like spectrum, and so I think you're totally right that that's exactly how it feels.
Yeah,
is those moments where you're like, this person is the best.
Yeah,
they're the coolest. Love their taste in movies.
Yeah.
Also, I get very squidged out in my stomach when they touch me.
Right. Ugh, it's so, that's a real thing. Hang on just a second. Thank you for putting up with my, let me just make sure there aren't any festival emergencies going on.
Are there any festival emergencies going on?
Not really. No, everything's like okay. I just had to look at some communication and make sure.
You stay up here for the whole month. You work every day, like sun up to sundown, and then go to shows?
I almost was going to say that's an exaggeration, but it's not really that much of an exaggeration. There will be a couple of days where I think people can kind of take a breath. But, I mean, by and large, just because there are so many dates and so many shows, even if you kind of feel like whatever's happening in the moment is under control, there's always this sort of thing of like, but I do need to make sure blank, blank, and blank happen. And I'm great at procrastinating sometimes, but I'm not great at procrastinating about this festival because it just means so much to me and kind of has, you know, really there is no one else who will do it if I won't do it. Like, my partners and I have those kind of responsibilities. And I will say that I guess I'm grateful that while I do have a procrastinator's brain and body in some places, that that I do have that machine that will actually deliver the message to my brain that's like, you're not going to enjoy this quote unquote hooky time.
Sure.
Like, don't pretend like you're going to. You have to do this thing first, or you're going to put this thing off and also not have a great time. Like, I can't compartmentalize to the degree where I'm like, what's up, everybody? I'm just doing a little shopping, trying on some shoes. Like, with these things hanging in the background, those things are like daggers in my neck. You know,
I totally get that. You guys also have a lot of bigger name people and events coming in, and I think to maintain those relationships, I'm sure is a lot also, just because
it is a lot, Cameron.
People have a lot of shit that they need when they're at that point. They like need some help.
Also, you and I were talking about, like, we're not even at that point and we still know that we have like weird basic needs that have developed just out of traveling a lot that we didn't know. Because I think that's the worst person. I've said this before, I will say it again because it's something I'm constantly battling, is I so don't want to be the person who thinks they're low maintenance, but in fact it's high maintenance. That is a real fear of mine.
Yeah.
And I feel that coming out when I'm like making special requests or doing this or that. And so then I try to fix it myself, but sometimes you need to ask for it. Like, you know what I mean? If I'm in some strange place and I don't have a car and I'm relying entirely on this convention that's brought me out there, I maybe do need to them to, like, I need to ask them, where's the grocery store? But I get this thing in my head where I'm like, oh, that's troublesome. You know, I'll be the person who's creating problems. And so it's a little bit of like, you know, a loop that I get
into, constantly learning that too. But I think that what I've learned is that whenever I ignore that and just like keep going, then the mistake down the line is like so much more massive.
Yeah, you're right.
So if I'm like, I can just handle this, I don't need to like loop in my team of people, and then like, and then something like insane happens, and I'm like, you know,
100%, yeah, exactly,
stranded on a something with none of the things I need and a whole audience of people that don't have any drinks, you know, like that kind of thing. So
you're absolutely right. It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder to take advantage of that stuff, because a lot of the time I do feel like, yeah, exactly. Exactly that, where I'm like, I got this, and then I don't show up for something because I didn't have it in my schedule and I needed someone in that case to be like, gentle reminder, you have to be blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, you never got this. I think that's what's wild, because this is such a job where I feel, because you're a small business owner, but the business is you, so it feels very selfish sometimes to take care of the business when the business is you.
Yeah.
But it turns out that other people are, like, depending on the business, other people are selling tickets to the business and other people are like making money off the business. Yeah. So you have to kind of like make sure that your
stock is in order. Oh, yes. Yes. I got to do an inventory.
Yeah. You got to put your,
got to do an inventory. Mm-hmm. Well, let me get back to this idea of, and I do think that it's something that people experience that are not necessary. Again, it has nothing to do with whether you're gay or straight, but it can have to do with developmentally where your feelings of like love and passion come from. But as it happens, I do remember when I talked to Dave Holmes, he was talking about how when he finally had that first really, you know, great experience with someone that wasn't just kind of like messing around, and to maybe paraphrase him, that I think my question was like, well, did you sort of like feel like you were madly in love with this person because you didn't have any source point of reference? I mean, we already don't have those points of reference because those are the points we're building as teenagers.
Yeah.
But then if like you sort of somehow navigate through that without even having that what turns out to be an authentic version of yourself later on, then what's the challenge of, you know, being a person who's out of their teens with some experience, but not, you know, but then like sort of waking up, if you will, and going like, oh shit. Like, did you think, I mean, this is just a long-winded way of me saying, like, was there somebody that you were like, I love you so much, like that, you know? Well,
sure. I think there's a real second adolescence that happens where you're having this strange thing where your body is 15 and 20 at the same time or whenever it happens for you. Sure. And I also think that, I don't know everybody's coming out experience now, but many of the people who are like our generation or, I think I've talked to Dave about this actually, but I think that what happened was that, so I came out at this conservative Catholic college where actually at the time that I came out, you could have been kicked out of school for being gay.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was.
This is outside of Boston, you said, or in Boston?
Yeah, this was in Boston. This is Boston College. I don't mind saying their name, those motherfuckers. yeah,
that is very bad.
They would not put it in their non-discrimination policy. And this also wasn't like silently happening. There was a movement among students to have it included in the non-discrimination policy, and they refused. So there were like people putting up in their windows, like basically, I'm a safe space in some rooms on campus. But it was a really terrible environment because, you know, to feel like you're not sure how your family's going to take it. And then also you might have to go to your family if, you know, like things were rough at home for a long time because my parents were specifically very confused.
How hard for them too, because if they were the kind of parents that did feel that they fostered in you this idea of you being amazing and you're capable of anything, to feel like, how does this fit into it? And like, oh God, I want to be the supportive parent, but not about something that I find.
They
like,
were really
wrong.
Worried that I was going to wreck my life, I think, more than anything also. Like, I think there's the Catholic thing where they were worried about hell for a while.
And then my mom got over that pretty quickly.
Oh, that's good.
But my dad, I think, lived in that space for a little while longer. But then on top of that, if you have no models to look to, they were just like, well, I mean, she's not going to hell, but like, she's going to have a weird life where she like, I don't know where she lives or what she does or who she's with in this life of hers.
It's just a whole different, yeah, especially if it's something you don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. Suddenly there's like a, there's, well, I'm sure a wall put down because parents like to imagine their kids in whatever absolutely realm they're in. And I'm sure it was just like clang, like, well, who is she? Who is this person? What,
yeah,
who is she in terms of what her day to day is like?
I think it's a mourning thing. I think your parents kind of have to mourn this kid that like didn't exist, but they didn't know that kid didn't exist. So when you're coming out, you're like, awesome, this is who I am. And then when they are going through mourning this child that they thought that they knew,
yeah,
it's really, really wild. Yes.
Were you able to have heart to hearts with them on any kind of, because that's another thing too, right? Is if you have somebody, if some people have a close relationship with their parents and then information like that comes out, and even if it's hard, they already had this foundation of, well, let's talk it out, you know, let's hash this out, let's really talk about this, like, why are you troubled by this? And maybe somehow you can get through it that way. And some people are like, I have to deal with it over here and you have to deal with it over here, and then hopefully we'll come back together.
Everything, we could talk about everything. I talk out everything with my family, but except sex, because of the Catholicism. Right. So sexuality isn't really about sex, but because sex is a component of sexuality, we could not talk about this.
Right.
So I think it was really hard for a while also because of that. Like, they also couldn't, it was also difficult for them to talk to my straight sisters about sex.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I think about it, like, whether or not I had, you know, I don't feel like I really talked about what teenager really gets to, like, nobody wants to talk. Nobody wants to.
I mean, the Gilmore Girls, I don't want to now. Like, really,
there's
got
never been a time in my life when I... they are very special.
Yeah, they got into some sex stuff.
I don't think I've ever been in a place in my entire life where I would have wanted to have those kinds of conversations, like, in any detail, especially if it had to do with like me trying to help them get over something that was uncomfortable for them. Ugh.
I think it's
It's
a weird part about coming out to like your parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles, like these people that you would, this would like never. Some parents have, I think, a little bit more flexibility on whether they can talk about sex. And I honestly just, the Catholic Church did not do a great job of helping my parents with that. And so they were not super able to do that. But I think, like, I think that's one of the reasons it's so difficult to come out. It, besides just, like, the stigma, I also think it's just very weird
to acknowledge that you are sexual.
Because it's implied that you have, like, body parts.
Yes, and I will, let me say this, because I was going to say this earlier, and it's something I keep thinking about, particularly since this show that I'm on that is now has now since ended, but this great cartoon called The Legend of Korra. In the end of The Legend of Korra, the character that I play ends up in a relationship with begins a bubble relationship with someone that she used to be friends with, who's a girl, and they fall in love. And that was like a big, you know, it's a big deal. I'm very proud that it's a big deal. But I think what it's really brought up for me, and I wasn't necessarily planning on talking about this, but is that I think one of the hardest things to me about, certainly about that, you cracked it wide open, the idea of homosexuality forces in the concept of sex in relationships where it would never come up before. And I think what the situation here that happened with Korra, you know, there's no definitive like, well, Korra's gay now, even though earlier in the series she had a boyfriend. So if you continue on that line, you're like, okay, Korra's bisexual. Then you get into this weird realm where bisexuality implies that you just are hypersexual.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, oh, you must be attracted to twice the amount of people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's really frustrating too, because I feel like once you say, like, there's a salaciousness attached to bisexuality that is more quote unquote acceptable because men find it titillating for a woman to be bisexual. But that's, so it's attached to sex, and it's attached to some sort of racy, adventurous, like, likes the boys and the girls.
Right.
And that's a disgusting stigma to have on somebody who might just once in 10 years fall in love with a man, and then 10 years later she falls in love with a woman. How is that salacious? How is that like, do you know what I mean?
No, it's really intense, isn't it? I mean,
it's,
I kind of think
strange
about it like almost, I'm trying to think of like a
compass or something? What are the, there's like two, if there's like, there's like a line of boys and a line of girls and you like, you, they overlap.
Oh, like a Venn diagram.
There's
like
a,
two circles.
Sure,
like
a, yes.
Yeah.
There's a, there is a man and a woman that have like the exact same kind of like gender imprint. Like, for sure. You know, I love like David Bowie because he seems more like me than most female performers or whatever. But also like Carrie Brownstein. Like somehow those people are like kind of in a line with each other. So I just think that bisexuality is like people that also could like make a home with those people who are in those different camps. Because like we're all, I think, attracted to different to people that are across the like whether however they identify, we're attracted to like that through line of like, I mean, because if you look back at all the people that you've dated, don't you like always find like the one kernel where you're like, oh, got it? Or maybe there's like a couple types, but you can kind of put, you can figure out like, like even when you met them, you didn't like see what it was. And I'm not talking about like body type. I'm just talking about like, oh, they like would always do this in this situation.
Yeah, I think is that's one of the benefits of getting older too, and having, you know, all of those lovers behind you. Totally kidding. No, but like getting to a point where you can sort of, you know, take a sort of look and also see, maybe even more importantly, who you were, like how you were reflected back at that point in your life and what you needed to see. But I would just like to live in a world where, and because I was this kid, whether my parents wanted me to be or not, where I was just, I certainly had feelings for both boys and girls. And by the time I was in high school, I was just ready to have it be whoever. Like I don't think I had as strong of a sort of like, well, I better only be looking in this direction. And the freedom to like let it evolve from there. And what you were saying earlier about that being true for boys, and that I think that it should be something that's, you know, earlier and earlier, and it doesn't have to be about sex. I think there's ways to talk about it that don't necessitate like, well, two penises will blah, blah, blah. Like it can, you know what I mean? Like you don't have to push that on someone earlier necessarily, or maybe there are ways to do that that we haven't figured out yet that we're not comfortable with as of the uptight culture that we are, but that we can just like, and I'm sorry guys, I'm really monologuing and like proselytizing, but it's something I do feel very passionately about, is that just, that it can just be like, You can love this person. You can want to kiss this person. You could this, you could that. That it's just like, it can be lighter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're so stressed out about sex that I think that's like the main problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, because when people say they don't want to share, when they don't want like kids to know about gays and lesbians, that is, I'll like fight for the rest of my life to get people to stop saying that. Because there are gay and lesbian kids. So I'm not sure what kids you're talking about. But also like, the idea, because the problem is that then kids would know about sex, but also like kids should know about sex. I mean, I'm not saying that it should be more information that they than that what they can process at the time, but I don't think that it should be. And this could be, you know, my Catholic upbringing factoring into how I look.
And by
at
the
it.
Way, you and I can have an offline conversation about this because these guys are probably bored sick of it. But my mom is Mormon, so I can certainly meet you on the like half of my family. I was split into yin and yang, so I had like my dad, the hedonist, divorced, obviously, and then my mom, the Mormon, and sort of have that like kind of looking over on that side and looking over on that side. But to just go straight on to like,
I just think like nurturing people in a way that's helpful to them. Like when I was. The only sex ed I ever got in Catholic school was in grade school. We went on a retreat with a nun.
Wonderful.
The boys and girls were separated, and the girls went with a nun. I got my period that day. Oh, my first ever period.
Of course you did.
And she played Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young, which, like, the whole message of that song is, like, you're only going to die young if you, like, don't have sex with me tonight. And she was like, this is what people think about Catholics. Like, you need to not listen to Billy Joel. Billy Joel is who she was like.
Most benign.
This guy, yeah, Billy Joel. Oh, no. You know. And then in high school, our sex ed class was, we watched an abortion in class on a video. And I think, like, having this year watched Obvious Child, that amazing movie with Jenny Slate, I think, like, that movie blew my mind because it's such a more helpful look. Because, you know what? No woman probably does want to be in that situation. Nobody, she's upset.
No one wants to. No one Nobody's ever wants choosing, to go to the doctor for yeah. anything
right.
that's painful, right. number one. And number two, yeah. nobody is throwing it off. Like, nobody is just being like, eh, whatever.
Right.
Like, I promise you, just the agony of the girl. And I'm saying this as someone who has not ever been pregnant but has feared I was pregnant. So I can't even imagine the, like, the anxiety that I have peeing on a stick. Without yeah. projecting in any way how I'm going to deal with it. Because you're a kid. You know, you just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you, in your mind, you're like, well, I guess I would get an abortion. But, like, what does that even mean when you're still peeing on the stick?
Yeah.
And the idea, like, friends of mine that I went with, you know, to have them and stuff. Like, boy, assurances, adults. Nobody is like, whatever.
And the great thing about that movie is that she's also not destroyed by it.
Yeah.
She's also just, like, a person who has to deal with the thing. Right. Which is actually what life is. It's just you're a person who has to deal with a thing. And they even kind of, I don't know if you saw this movie, but they like, they
I haven't seen it yet.
They I'm just going to spoil this because it's important enough to me. They like include a scene of this happening for her. And it's just, I think, like to show you what happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, it makes you realize that we watch like Law and Order SVU and everything else that's on TV that's like, this is how a murder would look.
Correct.
This is how rape would look.
Yeah.
This is how a dead, decayed body
oh, yeah.
would look.
Oh,
there's
absolutely.
Like scenes in Hannibal where they're like, this is what it would look like if a mushrooms
absolutely.
Grew out of somebody's face.
Absolutely.
But like, you've never seen an on-screen abortion. So fuck yeah, obvious child. And
yeah.
also, you know, we need to do some work. This is all a very long way of answering your original question, which was my first girlfriend was family to me. And I think that's what happens for kids who are coming out when they're 20, but also 15 at the same time. I had a really hard time ending that relationship. She's a great woman. We were not supposed to be together. And I ended up ending it really badly. Like we went down in flames instead of just ending it when I should have ended it.
Yeah.
I like, you know, was a jerk to her. But the reason that I was is because she was my family. Like she was the only person that understood what I was going through. She was at that school with me. We graduated and like, lived our lives together, and we should not have married each other, but I think it's a really, like you're saying, that like, I love you so much.
Yeah.
It was like beyond love. It was just like, she was literally at that time, the only other person in the world that I could relate to.
And that's so much, I mean, what you guys, this is, I'm not saying anything new, but that's so much pressure for anyone. No one should have to have that much pressure on their relationship. You know, we're not meant to have
right.
one person that's like, you're my everything.
Yeah.
I don't need anything else from anybody else. Just
thank,
you.
Thank God I've dated all those girls since then
right?
so that I can understand. There's other women who can understand me too.
Oh, man. Well, this has been such a pleasure. I want to get into some MASH with you.
You're a dream come true. I love chatting with you. Let's
I can't
mash
believe
it up.
We haven't hung out before. This is
I know.
Yes.
Now we shall.
Oh, we shall. Except you're all probably gone all the time. All right. I'm going to get into some MASH. Okay. So for my first MASH category for you, Cameron Esposito, I'm going to offer up three musicians, could be a band,
ooh.
Could be a solo.
Great.
That not only do you hang out with them, but they actually have started, you're their muse. It's not, it doesn't have
oh.
to be sexual. It's just like, you know, it's that
great.
Relationship that some like fashion designers seem
sexual.
To have.
But
it certainly could be. It certainly could be. Listen,
okay.
I don't know
all right.
how these things
I got
evolve.
It right now. Yeah.
So three.
Okay. So, Saint Vincent.
Oh yeah, sure.
And Sia,
yep.
and she does have to wear a veil on her face.
Wonderful, Sia with a veil. Great, great, great.
And Sleater-Kinney, because this is their year.
Yeah,
this is their year, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's their year.
Shout out.
This is their year.
Shout out to those guys. Okay, great. Okay, next one is going to be three vacation homes.
Okay, great.
Anywhere in the world. I don't care if you've been there or not. Three vacation home locations.
And they all have to be amazing?
No, just like if
okay.
you could, if you want to
okay.
be in Ojai and
yeah.
you want to be in a trailer in Tucson, which is where I'm from.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want.
Okay.
It's all
okay.
for you.
Okay. Three. Okay. Like, you know, like warehousey type space in Akron, Ohio, where Rhea's from.
Great.
Just, you know, like really revitalizing the city sort of a situation.
Love it.
You know? Like we become like the Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Listen,
of Akron.
I really get the appeal of that. The idea mm-hmm. of like giving some love back to like
yeah.
an area that and to feel a part
like
of it, and
us
to feel
and
protective
LeBron.
And proud
yeah.
of it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Totally get it. Akron Warehouse, check.
Okay. And then like yeah, just just Eiffel Tower, privately owned.
Great, 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 great.
And people can't come in.
I take it that you don't have a fear of heights. I'm impressed.
No, I'm pretty afraid of heights. I would be wasting it.
Yeah. What comes with it is that you don't. You're not afraid. Great, 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 great.
But it's just like they like no longer people can no longer come. It's just like this whole kind of
look, but you can't touch.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like this whole. Plus, it's like very phallic, and lesbians live there, and so like that's a whole issue. And I kind of love that.
Taking it over, I love it.
And then how about just like. Yeah, actually, you suggested it, but I'm going to do it. I'm just going to say Ojai. Let's just say Ojai.
That's a great spot.
I will say, RV parked in...
I mean, bear in mind that, fancy that MASH is mansion, apartment, shack, house.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
So that will come
oh,
into
play. Oh, so there's a mansion.
Play.
Okay, then
so
fuck
listen,
all of that.
You might get stuck with the mansion
Hollywood
in Ojai.
Hills mansion.
But I can't guarantee it. Like, I can say Hollywood Hills, but then in the process of elimination, I will let you know whether you got a mansion, apartment, a shack, or a house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay.
So
it
could be anything, so you don't have to specify.
Got it. I understand.
But, like, Eiffel Tower, you're in pretty good shape.
I haven't played
a shack,
in a while.
Ultimately, you're still...
I live in a shack in the Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
You live in, like, the old elevator shaft.
I
with, like,
love
the rats.
This. I think this is a great idea.
Okay, number three, getting it in early. Three foods that have no physical ramifications on your health in any way, but that you can have at the snap of a finger. It could be extremely specific, like this one thing you had one time you've never found again, or it could just be like a type of food that you just wish you could have all the time, even though it's bad for you.
Okay, I'm a vegetarian, but my number one would be Italian beef sandwich with hot and sweet peppers dipped from Chicago, Al's Beef. But
love
you don't
it.
Have to write all that specificity down.
I just wrote Al's Beef. Italian beef sandwich.
But it's like just not made of animals. You know what I mean? In this
situation. Yeah, exactly. This is a fantasy world where no animals are harmed during the making of the sandwich. Yeah.
And
next,
then like...
Oh, yeah.
Then just like super cracker crust pizza. Like real thin crust pizza. Get that deep dish out of my face.
Yeah, listen, that's very... disloyal of you. How dare you?
I hate deep dish pizza. It's the worst.
It's I don't think it feels like seems like it's like cheese soup in a bowl. Yes,
it's a real problem.
It's not my thing.
Everybody's lying about it.
I agree with you. I feel like I need the variety of texture to make it
so good.
Yeah, great.
And then like I'm also crazy lactose intolerant. Ice cream.
Do it.
Tons of ice cream.
Do it.
Fudge brownie.
Ooh, very nice. It's been a while since I've given a shout out to my favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor. I'm not sure it's still a thing, but I cannot have it for so many reasons of allergies. The pretzel, it's like a peanut butter pretzel, like chocolate covered peanut butter pretzel.
Yeah.
And then also I think there might be like a fudge and peanut butter swirl in there.
What is that called?
Chubby Hubby.
Yeah, you're right. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Chubby Hubby. Shout out to Chubby Hubby. And by the way, I don't want to be sponsored by Chubby Hubby.
No.
I cannot consume it. Again, I cannot consume it. Okay, number four in our MASH categories will be three sports that you wake up tomorrow and you are like killer at and you get a great adrenaline rush from.
Okay, women's U.S. national soccer team.
Great.
That level.
No, great. Yes, exactly. That's what this is for. By all means.
And... like Unreal Swimmer can be in the ocean and also like best Michael Phelps.
Great.
And then finally, I am afraid of heights, but in this universe, I'm amazing at heli skiing.
Wonderful. You're damn right you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're damn right you are. Okay. Next category is three. All right. Let's go down this road. I've been into this one lately, film directors or styles that sort of like, in this case, okay, what I've been doing is like someone makes a movie of your life, but what I want to do now is this is your life as you're experiencing it through the imagination of like three styles of film or three filmmakers. Does that make
sense? Yeah.
It's a little more abstract, but.
Okay. So Ridley Scott, but only Alien.
Great. Amazing. haunting.
Or yeah, yeah, super but very like, cool. Lots of corners mm-hmm, that you're mm-hmm. just like, what's behind there?
Yeah, great.
And there's a cat and stuff. and what other? Oh well, Richard Linklater.
Linklater,
because I'm going to live a real long time if he does my life story.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean? At least 12 years.
At least 12 years.
And
very impressive.
Oh, God.
That was impressive. That was impressive.
It was amazing. I don't know if you saw that movie yet.
I did. I was very impressed. Like, I really was like, he did it. There's something so satisfying about finding out something 12 years after the fact where he's like, I'm done, everybody. And by the way, I'm not sick of it. Or maybe he was, but it was still a great movie. Do you know what I mean? Because yes. I feel like if I write a script a day later, I'm like, ugh, I hate this.
I totally agree.
I'm so excited to come back to these people and to this story. And oh, it's great.
And the details he grabbed along the way, like what he did with technology, I was trying to figure out, like, did he just have 3,000 hours of footage, or was he just like, I'm just always going to check out the cell phone they're using at that time? Like, it was amazing.
I think, I want to believe that he had a specific agenda each time, because it feels like the kind of person who would do that would have, like, a really specific thing in mind, but maybe not. Maybe he was just like, part of it is looking at all of this footage and feeling like fitting together what the story is going to be. It's great. Okay, Ridley Scott, Richard Linklater, got him.
And then finally, like, Beauty and the Beast era, or Disney, Beauty and the Beast era Disney, because like we're using new technology. Great. Things are beautiful. Women are feminists.
Yeah.
Monsters become men. That kind of stuff.
Great. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. Next one is going to be three modes of travel which make your experience of doing all this travel that you have to do more pleasurable.
Yes.
Could be scientific, could be fantastic,
non-existent. I can bike everywhere.
Great.
That would be a dream.
Great, great, great.
I can walk everywhere. I'm a crazy walker. I walk for like hours.
Great.
And through shoes and stuff. So I would be really happy if I could walk everywhere.
Love it.
And then finally, motorcycle with sidecar.
Perfect. Perfect. I got real quiet, but it was just because I was hiding a burp. I'm just not as overt with my burps anymore, and I'm not anymore ladylike. I can't say. Okay. Next category, second to last, will be... Now, see, usually I do like a romantic liaison, but I feel like we've covered that with our All the Slater Kinney's entire band. You know what? That's going
to
be
I'm
like,
up to it.
Let me get a... All due respect to your beautiful fiancé. Let me get the three people that you have. This I think the musicians is mm-hmm. very specific, and that could just be encounters in the muse ship.
Sure.
This could be escapade, could be alternate universe partner.
Cool.
Up to you.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Who am I obsessed with? Let me try and remember their names. Sigourney Weaver.
Great, 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 great.
And let's hope we get Alien. Perfect.
Fit her right back into the place she was so eager to leave.
Oh, so great. And then who else am I into? There's like so many women that slay me, and yet currently I'm unaffected by their wiles.
Well, you can pop in.
Let's just do like Anne Hathaway
into.
Because she. I love her.
I just watched
a lot of people don't
the
really
Devil
like
Wears
her.
Prada for maybe the fifth time. I didn't even think of myself as a person who would give a shit about a movie like that, and I've loved it from day one.
It's so good.
Everyone's performance is so good. Emily Blunt is so
Emily. Let's put Emily Blunt on there.
Great.
That's my third.
She's a dream.
And I don't know if you've seen. Well, Live, Die, Repeat is the tagline
that they're
going. But
was it whatever that was. It was great.
It's so
Something
good.
About tomorrow. Anyway, she was great. It was great. I really enjoyed that movie too.
That movie was a sleeper.
Yeah. Anything time travel related, even though I know it's all paradoxical, I'm still on board for
also,
it.
Also, Tom Cruise, like, thank God he's not serious in that movie, because I feel like he really, I was like, I don't know, Tom, I think we're done. But then, and she's doing so much yoga in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's good
I'm
stuff.
I'm having a real problem with
it's
her.
It's good stuff.
And but Devil Wears Prada is amazing, and everybody in that movie is amazing. And
Stanley Tucci.
Yeah,
damn it.
We really need to give that movie more credit. I agree with you. I watch it a lot when I'm on the road. If it's on TV, that's what I'm watching.
It's a feel good movie, but it's not like a guilty pleasure. It's a legitimately just great movie.
I'm gonna say
a great job with
the weirdest thing in the world. That is my favorite Meryl Streep performance. Think of all the movies Meryl Streep has ever done. It's my favorite.
Let me meet you. Yeah, let me meet you with my own. And I will say that it rivals Devil Wears Prada. Death Becomes Her.
Oh, Death Becomes Her
Come
is so
on!
Good.
I love Why didn't that she win movie? An Academy Award for that? That's as good as she's ever been.
That's very good.
Oh, it's such a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Oh, it's so good. Great. Okay, final category. And then I have to get back to work. Final category will be three pets. Could be anything. Could be a real animal that it would never make sense to have as a pet. Could be an animal that you just love, like you always wanted a St. Bernard. It could be like something fictitious, like a unicorn, griffin, whatever.
Cool. My dog, Murph, who's cool. What's up, Murph?
Great.
Shout out to Murph. He'll be listening.
Murph it up.
And also, what other animals are there? Like dragon, like flying dragon.
Sure.
Maybe Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay, great, great, great,
That's
great,
a
great.
Specific dragon from a specific dragon movie. He's very cute. Or final animal. Well, sea animals are so crazy.
I know, right?
And I think like if you had the capacity to train and have one as a pet, like squid. Let's say you have a squid.
Great.
What it, you know?
Great.
Imagine
what's life going to be like with
imagine
that.
Imagine the kind of money you would have to be able to support your squid habit. I'm in that world. I'm very wealthy.
Fascinated. I'm fascinated too. Okay. Tell me when to stop.
Okay. Ooh. Now.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to pause this. Do some quick math. It's not really math. And come back with your 100% guaranteed math. I just said math future. See, that's what happens. E equals MCQ3. All right. Are you ready? Do you feel like you're ready for the awesome, amazing math future I'm about to reveal to you?
I gotta know.
Once again, this happens every once in a while. This feels like, with a couple of exceptions, I guess, for things I don't have as strong feelings about. Like, I would be very happy to trade places with you and take this on. So, first of all, I want to congratulate you on... now... This is cool. I guess this makes sense. The Akron warehouse space.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Happens to also be a mansion.
Yeah.
So what's like, I guess you own like a 5-floor warehouse.
Most
that's
of Akron.
Been converted to a mansion.
Most of Akron.
So fancy pants.
People will write about that.
You know what I feel might be, this is what I like to imagine, is that also near the Akron warehouse, you guys, and I'll tell you with who in a second, have revitalized all areas, including all of the parks and soccer fields.
Yes, because I'm on the national team.
They got to come. That's where you guys practice.
That's good because Hope Solo's benched. Well, so I'm going to be the new goalie sometime in the next 30 days.
Bring in Hope back to the team.
I sure will
be. In a manner of speaking, not literally. Okay, next, I want to congratulate you on, everybody knows this makes me very happy, that no matter where you go, feel free to just be on your bike.
Oh, yes. Thank God.
That's my fantasy of... And then I look out at the San Francisco night traffic, and I'm like, I don't want to ride to a show tonight on the bike.
Oh, I know. Just me and my 81 Trek that lives
Good
on my
stuff.
Wall in Los Angeles because I can't ride it
stuff.
In that city.
Yeah. Well, I got some places you can ride. I'll talk to you. Okay. And then I want to congratulate you after your long ride to one of your gigs. Rest assured that you can snap your fingers and have a no actual animal was harmed during the making of the sandwich, Al's Beef Italian Sandwich.
Yes, 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 yes,
so,
yes.
Congrats.
I can't wait to have that.
I don't know if you are into feeding table scraps to your dog, Murph.
Yeah, yes. I'm so glad Murph will be there.
You got Murph.
He's my favorite.
You got Murphed. And I don't know. Like, all of this is going to be taking place in some sort of Beauty and the Beast era Disney movie.
Yep.
And it involves not only St. Vincent.
What's up, girl?
But Ms. Emily Blunt.
Oh, my God. That sounds
I just
great.
Think you really hit the jackpot on all counts.
Oh, think of the hair and the arms and the outfits. It's going to be great.
Cameron, well, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Total pleasure.
What a blast.
I'm so glad we hung out.
I'm so glad we did too. I'm so glad you're back up at the fest. We love having you. And what do you want people to know about you? Anybody who might not already know where to find you and all that good stuff.
I think the greatest things to say are I'm on Twitter at Cameron Esposito. And also I have an album out that came out in 2014 and did really well. I'm super proud of it. And it's called Same Sex Symbol.
Same Sex Symbol.
And stream it on Spotify or Pandora, or you can buy it through iTunes or through my label, Kill Rock Stars. It's on pink vinyl.
Oh,
if you want to get that pink marble vinyl.
Just say that. Amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, guys, get on it. Get on it.
Well, thanks, Madeira.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I will see you at a show.
Yeah. Oh, also, podcast. Put your hands together.
Yeah, put your hands. Oh, come on. Put your hands
Which
together.
Which is what
guys.
We're doing tonight.
Put your hands
My podcast is called Put Your Hands Together, and we record at the UCB Theater. So
great.
Enjoy
great,
that. Bye bye.
Get on it. Take care. Talk to you soon. I bid you good day.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.